Hey, this is Victor Lopez, pastor at Grace Point Church, and this is our podcast. Hey, we just want to say thanks for joining us today. We hope this encourages you. We hope it builds your faith. We hope it reminds you just how much God loves you. Enjoy the message. So last week I gave you some statistics, which are kind of alarming. In America, on average, the average person who calls themselves a Christian or attends church at all, on average, says that they attend church 3 times every 8 weeks. That is alarming, right? Because you're talking about you're going to church 3 times every 60 days. I told you last week, you can't do anything and be successful if you're doing it 3 times every 60 days, right? Like, try to eat healthy 3 times every 60 days, right? It ain't going to happen. Try to work out 3 times every 60 days. It doesn't work that way. You know, God designed us to be part of his church. It's in your DNA. We talked about all that last week. And this week, we're going to go a little different route. Last week's topic was fruit over fame. And today's message is patterns over potential, right? Last week was fruit over fame. And today's message is, if I would call it anything, I would call it patterns over potential. 1 Samuel chapter 16. If you have your Bible, verse 12 through 23, we're going to read. It says, so he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. I thought they were talking about me, but then the Lord said, I'm just waking you up, rise and anoint him. This is the one, right? Verse 13. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramah. Verse 14. Now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul. So Saul was tripping, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. Saul's attendants said to him, see, an evil spirit from God is tormenting you. Verse 16, it says, let our Lord command his servants here to search for someone. In other words, we need to find someone who can play the lyre or the harp. He will play when the evil spirit from God comes on you, and you will feel better. All right? So Saul said to the attendants, find someone who plays well. Come on, say plays well. Find someone who plays well and bring him to me. Verse 18, one of the servants answered, I have seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play a mean harp. You know, that's whatever. And then he says, he's a brave man in the war. Have you ever seen that? Like, he plays a mean harp and he's a brave man. It's not happening. He is a brave man and a warrior. He speaks well and is a fine looking man. Oh, and the Lord is with him. Then Saul sent messenger to Jesse and said, send me your son David, who is with the sheep. Verse 20, so Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread, a skin of wine, and young goat, and sent them with his son David to Saul. Verse 21, David came to Saul and entered his service. Saul liked him very much, and David became one of his armor bearers. Almost there. Then Saul sent word to Jesse saying, allow David to remain in my service, for I am pleased with him. And we'll end here. Whenever the spirit from God came on Saul, David would take up his lyre, his harp, and play. Then relief would come to Saul. He would feel better, and the evil spirit would leave him. So we were on. We went to Ruidoso for Thanksgiving break, and we kind of got snowed in for like 2 days there. And you know, we're from West Texas. We don't know what to do when it snows, right? We just freaked out, and there we were. And so one thing that kind of, so all the kids were there, and the kids, they have these things called iPods and iPads and phones, and Oliver's, they played so much Roblox or whatever they were playing on their iPod, and that every couple hours or so, he would run up to me and say, hey, my iPod is dead. I mean, this happened 73 times, it felt like, in a 3-day period. And I'm like, well, you got to charge it. And what he would do is he would charge it. And the second it would turn a little bit green, you know, because, you know, you have iPod, right, or iPhone, it's red. But the second it turns green, he's like, oh, Dad, it's green. I can use it now. And I'm like, no, son, you got to leave that charged. You got to keep charging that, or it's going to die really quick, right? And I mean, this happened over and over. Finally, where I asked God, I said, what are you trying to show me in this? Because this little kid is getting annoying, right? Like, you know, and I'm just like, God, what is it? And he said, it's kind of like church. It's kind of like church, like it's designed for you to come back constantly. You have to come back to church not only constantly, but consistently. And some of us, sometimes we come to church just so we can start showing a little bit of green. You know what I mean? And then we think we're charged, and then we go out back to the world, and we die real quick. Come on, somebody, help me out. That's what it's like. Okay, so we want access, right? We want access to what God designs in community without being connected to community. This is, I was like, God, sometimes if you're like my son, I said, Oliver, you have to, mijo, listen, okay? You have to keep it plugged in, and you have to stay close. And everything you do, you have to do it with you staying close to what's giving you power. Oh, come on, you didn't hear me. Everything you do, you have to do it. You have to do it staying close to whatever it is that's giving you power. And you never get disconnected. You act like my father-in-law. After a while, yeah, he bought him like a 20-foot cord. Amen? And you know what I mean? He pulled out a 20-foot cord, and he plugged it in way over there and sat way over there. I said, what are you doing, hanging Christmas lights? Like, you know, but listen, it doesn't matter what you do. You have to stay plugged in. Constantly, you have to stay plugged in consistently. This is how it's designed. And so we're talking about a text here where they're talking about David, but they don't even say his name. If you realize it, they don't say his name to the end. They didn't know who he was. They just knew what he could do. Can I get an amen for that? Right? Because he was what? He was consistent. If David was anything, David was a consistent dude. So, so where's Goliath? Well, Goliath is in chapter 17. We're in chapter 16. So chapter 17, David beats Goliath, and he gets all this fame, and it catapults his career to stardom, right? And on his way to being the greatest king Israel ever knew. That's what happens. But how many know there's a story behind the glory? Amen? There's always a story behind whatever glory it is that you experience. So, any of you have a gift? 1, 2, 3, 4 of you. All right. I was talking to the praise team the other day, and I said, man, guys, we need some people who can play instruments up there. And they all look at me, and they're like, well, I know how to play flute. And then the next one says, I know how to play flute. And I'm saying, no, we don't need those instruments up there. Like, y'all keep y'all's flutes to yourselves. And they were serious. They're like, Jessica was like, I play mean flute. I'm like, Jessica, don't. I don't care. You can sing, girl, but you ain't playing that flute up on stage. Like, could you imagine? You know what I mean? They were serious. Praise God. We assume that because someone has a gift, they don't have to work to develop that gift. Whatever gift you have to work to develop that gift. I just don't want to tell you that David killed Goliath, because I want you to see that before David ever killed Goliath, there was a gift at work in him that had to be developed in order for him to be in position for God to be able to do what God wanted to do through him. Some of you have a dream. Instead, what you should have is a plan. Amen. Did you hear what I said? Some of you have a dream, and what you should have is a plan. David had a plan. David was good at something. David tended sheep really good. David played a mean harp really good, and he was consistent at it. He was good at it. I just don't want to tell you he killed Goliath, because David had to do things behind the scenes that were consistent. David had to do things behind the scenes that was constant. He had to constantly tend the sheep. He had to constantly learn how to play the harp or whatever the lyre, the harp that he played. I just don't want to tell you he killed Goliath one day and got famous. Like, you ought to have a plan. Some of you have a dream, but what you ought to have is a plan to use your gift in the house of God so God can then position you. Did you hear what I said? Some of us who have dreams, we want to do this, and we want to have businesses, and we want to be a part of this, and we want to be on the road, and we want to be a musician. No, it doesn't matter until you use your gift in the house of God. God cannot position you to where he needs to position you. See, David was positioned because he had a gift. Amen? He was positioned. You all have a deposit inside of you. But if you have to develop what God deposits. We have one point today, and it's point number one, be consistent, church. Be consistent. How many hours did David have to practice his harp? You know what I mean? Like, that when the king needed a personal musician, like, this is the king, y'all. You know what I mean? Like, how many hours did David have to practice his harp? That when the king needed a personal musician, like, when you're the first one that they think of, right? There's a harp. There's a dude over there who plays a mean harp, bro. You know? Like, how many hours? Like, where did you even find the time, David? Like, how many times did David have to drag his harp to practice, you know? There's no minivans back then, right? David, what do you, there was, God had a gift. God gave David a gift, but his gift had to be developed. Amen? Church, you have a gift. Every single one of you here this morning, you have a gift, but your gift has to be developed. If you don't develop what God has deposited in your life through consistency, can I tell you something? You will never experience your destiny. Some of you will never experience your destiny because you're sitting on your gifts. That's hard to hear, I know it. But you just won't. You know why? Because we want the benefit of the gift without the diligence. Let me help you out. Let me make it more plain for you. You want the car without the car payments. Is that easier for you? You want the house without the house payments. You want the house, but you don't want to work on the credit that it takes to get the house. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. You don't want to work at it. We want the benefit of the gift, but we don't want what it takes to get the gift. We want to lead, but we don't want to be led by Pastor. Come on, hear me out. Be careful. Be careful when you envy somebody else's gift. Amen? Because you want someone else. Be careful when you want someone else's spot. Be careful when you say people are close to Pastor and I want to be close to them like they are. How do I get close to that? Now, what you're not seeing is that there's a gift that they had to come with. You know what I mean? See, because when you get a gift, it doesn't come as a finished product. It comes with payments. Amen. And if you want to lead here sometimes at Grace Point, sometimes you're going to have to come home on a Saturday instead of a Sunday. You might have to cut your vacation short. If you're not ready to make that payment, you ain't ready to be a leader. You might have to give a little extra in the offering. You might have to stay a few hours later. Be careful when you envy somebody else's gift, somebody else's presence. You know, this church came with payments, y'all. You know what I mean? I ain't just talking about money payments. Amen. I said this church came with some payments, right? See, God will give you everything you need, but he expects you to put it together. Oh, it's hard to tell that in this Grace Church because you think God's just going to put everything on a platter for you and you're going to be like, oh, I have it now. No, listen to me. God will give you everything you need, but he expects you to put it together. There's this story of a preacher buying a building, and the building was ugly. I mean, ugly. Ugly as could be. All up in this place, you know? And cost a lot of money. Several years of fixing it. And people in the city started to tell this preacher, looks like you and God did good. Looks like you and God did good together fixing this place up. I'm the preacher I'm talking about, just so you don't know. Just so you know, right? All right? Looks like you and God did good fixing this place up. What I say is, well, I got to tell you, you should have seen this place when God had it to himself. See what I mean? This was a good building, but when God had it to himself, this was ugly. God will give you everything you need, but you got to put it together. God will give you a building, but he expects you to put it together. Salvation is a starting point for you to get to work, church. Amen? Not to please God. That's not why we work. But you got to play your part in the kingdom. I know we say over here, we start at finished. And where God, Jesus said, it is finished, that's where we start. And we start from victory. But can I ask you something? Have you even started anything in your life? Have you begun to put anything to work in your life? Are you with me this morning? If you're going to flow and grow in 2020, can I help you out? You're going to have to dig a little. I know we're real good about reaching up high, but come on. God has deposited everything you'll ever need, and God's saying, no, I have given you what you need. You're going to have to do a little bit of digging. You might have to get involved somewhere. You might have to do something that you don't want to do, because God has put everything that he wanted you to have. He's put it right up inside of you. But you have to work at it, church. I know this is hard for me to even tell in this Grace Church this morning, because you're like, oh, I got to do something. Yes, you got to do something. Salvation is just the starting point. Are you with me? You have to work. I mean, did you get better at anything in 2019? Come on, ask yourself that. Did I get better at anything in 2019? That's a tough question to ask yourself. Because David, watch this. David didn't call to play the harp. I'm going to mess with your religion right now. David didn't get called to play the harp because he loved God. He got called to play the harp. You want to know why? Because he was good. And it's amazing to me how many times we want to give God something that's not good. Did you hear what I said? I'll just give you a little bit of time on Sunday once a month. It's amazing how many times we want to give something, God, that's not good. Why don't you give God your best? Because everything you have belongs to him anyway. Why don't you give him the best of your breath? Because every breath you have came from him anyway. It shocks me that we come to God and we're like, we're going to give how we want and how we feel. But why don't we give God what is good? Amen? David didn't get called to play the harp because he knew God. He got called to play the harp because he was good at playing the harp. Can I get an amen? Look, put verse 16 up there, Ram. I'll prove it to you. Watch, 16. We'll read right here. Let our Lord command his servants here to search for someone who can play the lyre. He will play when the evil spirits from God comes on you and you will feel better. Watch 17. Watch. So Saul said to his attendants, find me someone who's close to the Lord. Nah, he didn't say that. Find me someone who plays well. Find me someone who's good at what they do. Amen. Come on, church. Go to verse 18. Watch this. One of the servants answered him and says, look, I have seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play a mean harp, right? Watch this. Knows how to play. Here's the order. He's a brave man and a warrior. Watch. We're two, right? He speaks well and is a fine-looking man. Come on, somebody. And then the last one, he says, oh, and the Lord's with him. I was like, God, wait, help me out here. Okay, so here we are. I have seen a son of Jesse Bethlehem who knows how to play the lyre, number one, is a brave man and a warrior, number two, speaks well and is a fine-looking man, number three. Oh, and by the way, the Lord is with him. Do you understand? He said, who can play and not pray? Come on, somebody. Did you hear what I said? Because religious people, they don't know the practical. They just want to be able to pray and pray and pray. But they don't know how to play. Amen? You see what I'm saying? See, he didn't say, he said, listen to me. Find me someone who can play, not pray. Right? I'm about to mess all up your religious thinking right now. See, the last thing that they said was that the Lord is with him. That should have been the first thing, right? I mean, that's what no doubt, because that is the most important thing, that the Lord is with him. But the last thing they see was that the Lord was with him. David, why? Because David was constant. David was consistent. David was relentless in everything else that he did. I think we need more of that. I think we should be able to do things without putting a cross on it. I think we should be able to do things without putting a fish on it. I think if we're just consistent and constant and good at what we do, that people know that we're doing it for God. I got a fish on it. Oh, then it must. No. Chick-fil-A ain't got no fish on their thing. But you know they're the most constant, consistent, greatest restaurant of all time. Amen. And you don't walk up in there seeing crosses everywhere, baby Jesus over there eating a sandwich. You see none of that. But you know what it's appealing is they're consistent, they're constant, and they're excellent. You know what it is? They're good. Can we do things? Christians are crazy. We're like, well, I'll just put a cross on it and God will bless it. No, he won't. Are you good at it? Are you good at it? Well, I'll just start a business and I'll put a little fish thing and God's going to. No, he won't. Are you good at it? Are you with me? Come on, you got to bring to God what is good. Amen. I think we need more of that. Because truth is, church isn't built on fundraisers. If you know me and some of my leaders, when people come up to me with fundraisers, I'm like, no. I don't want no dang fundraisers here. Well, we can sell this, and we can sell cakes, and we can sell burritos, and we can sell tortas, and we can sell whatever it is that you want to sell, and we can make $400, Pastor. Truth is, church isn't built on fundraisers or bake sales or special offerings. It's built on people who are constant, consistent, and relentless. I ain't gonna, no, me letting you do a fundraiser is me giving a cop out to everybody else. What if everybody else just tithes? Did you hear what I said? What if you were just excellent in your spirit and you were consistent and you were constant and everybody in here just tithed instead of buying a cake for $20? I helped the church today. You didn't do anything. You helped yourself to a piece of cake. Are you with me this morning? It's real quiet in this Baptist church. Amen. What is this? It's a Presbyterian church this morning. I don't know what it is. But listen to me. What if you just tithed? Because the church is built on people who are consistent and constant in their giving and their helping. See, bake sales didn't build this church. Fundraisers didn't build this church. Come on, special offerings didn't build it. You know what's built this church? People who are consistent, who are constant, who are relentless, who are excellent. Not perfect, but excellent. Amen? Nobody's perfect. Amen? But we can come with the spirit of excellence. I think we need that. I would say give me somebody who's consistent over someone who's memorized scripture. Oh, come on, church. Come on. But I know the scripture. But you ain't consistent, bro. Give me someone who's consistent over someone who hears from the Lord. But you ain't been in church in 3 weeks. What's the Lord telling you? You ain't must be hearing that good. Know what Lord you listening to. Give me someone who's consistent over someone who wants a mic all the time. Give me someone who's consistent over someone who cries all the time. So you think they're really spiritual and they're really holy. Give me someone who's consistent over somebody who has to be at the altar every time there's an altar call. I'm stepping on some toes, but that's all good. Give me someone who's consistent. Remember, I told you it's patterns over what? Potential. Availability over what? Ability. Yeah, I want to bring what's good, but what good is it if my gift is never available? I'm looking for somebody who's consistent. God wants somebody who's consistent, who's strong and unwavering and can stick it out. Amen. What does a house look like full of consistent, excellent people? You can't stop a house that's full of people who are consistent and constant and relentless, like a river, like a flowing river grinding out the Grand Canyon. You can't stop that. Consistency, constant, excellence. What does a house look like that's built like this? Not perfectionism, because perfectionism is rooted in competition. I ain't trying to compete against anybody. Excellence is simply, I'll bring my best. That's all God wants, is for you to bring your best. You don't got to be perfect. You just got to be present. Can I tell you that this morning? You don't got to be perfect. Just be present. Just show up. There's so many people are trying to be perfect and not be present. You have a gift, which is potential. But potential doesn't tell the whole story. Can I tell you something? Never go off potential. If you're dating somebody, don't go off potential. I hear it all the time. Well, you know, they got good potential, Pastor. And I think, you know, that they could probably, eventually they'd go to church. No, they won't. Well, they got good potential. No, go. You know what you need to look at if you're dating somebody? Don't look at their potential. Well, they can be good. No, look at their patterns. How do they treat their mom? That's how they're going to treat you. Look at their patterns. Do they have a spending problem? You'll never get a house. Look at their patterns. Do they get angry and upset when they're hungry? You know what I mean? It's a pattern I had to deal with Valerie. She gets hangry. But don't look at potential. Why, you know, they're good. No, but they got a drinking problem right now. You know what that is? That's a pattern. And you're going to deal with, but they got great potential. Who cares about potential? Listen to me. It's patterns over potential. Patterns over potential. Yeah, but they're good. Yeah, but listen to me. No, they're not, because their pattern shows the difference. Everybody has potential. Everybody. I don't care about your potential. All I care about is your patterns. Are you starting to develop some good patterns in your life? We all have potential, man. I mean, you have a gift. That's why people come to me and they tell me, I want to start a new ministry. Allison did it too. She's like, I want to do a new ministry. I said, okay, let's do it. But first, I got to figure out your patterns, because you got potential. But I want to see if you're going to show up to the things that you don't want to show up to. I want to see if you're going to do things without me asking you to do them. I want to see if I get a call from somebody who's dealing with drug addiction, if I'm going to give them your number, if you're going to respond. That's what I want to see first. Why? Well, I'm after patterns, not potential. I want somebody told me about 4 or 5 months ago, I want to do this in the church. I said, okay, yeah, let's do it. But first, I've learned my lesson. I ain't going off potential anymore. I'm going to help you out right now. I'm not doing, because plenty of people come through those doors with great potential, but horrible patterns. Okay, cool. Let's see. Called this person up 3 weeks ago. Hey, I knew the answer. I just, for the sake of the message, said, hey, you still good to do what you wanted to do? Let me pray about it. Oh, God changed his mind? Okay. I already knew what the answer was going to be. Prayed about it, come back. I'm sorry, just not. It's just not what. No. See, that's the pattern. And if I'd given you that ministry 6 months ago, that ministry would have died with people needing that ministry. Because you would have bought what you thought was good, but what was not good. I'm not after potential. We all have potential. Amen? Don't do anything off potential. Don't date off potential, right? Look at this picture. Rand, put this up. Picture up. Me and my friends, we built this ugly. Now, ignore the sweater vest, even though it was dope. You know what I mean? That guy is weird looking. He's wearing khakis. And yeah. We built this. There's a stage back there that we thought was okay at the time. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, Abe and Heavy and I don't know who else was there, but we just, you know, like, you know, it's just, we all have potential, right? Like, if this is anything, this is potential. Maybe we had potential building this stage, or maybe we didn't. But what I know the three of us had, and whoever else was there at the time, we had a pattern. We had a pattern of saying, you know what? No matter what happens, we're going to show up. Amen. Maybe we didn't have potential. Amen. Because look at that stage. It was ugly, right? Like, that was bad. Like, we put some wood and we went to Walmart, put some fabric behind it, and then we put some like 9,000 degree lights behind it. And no, I'm shocked we made it out that building. That thing didn't catch on fire. But we, listen, what I'm telling you is this. Maybe we had potential, maybe we didn't. But what I know we have, because they're still here with me today, is we have a pattern. We have a pattern. A pattern called consistency. And if we had never built this stage would never be here. And others along the way have come on to be consistent. Others along the way that I know that I can call on and say, hey, I need you here. Others like Woody, I called him last night. I said, hey, last night I said, I need these trees because they're going to fall over. Can you anchor them down? He said, yes, absolutely. He has great potential. That's great. But I'm after his pattern. His pattern is he'll be there every time I need him. Can I be honest with you? Don't cry. Let me cry. Don't be dumb like that, okay? Can I be honest with you, Woody? There's guys that can do that job better than you, but have worse. But you have the pattern of consistency. Because I could have called 10 guys, maybe not 10, but maybe 4 or 5 that could have done something different and done it better, but they would have given me an excuse. But Sean's pattern is, absolutely, I'll do it right now. I'll be there first thing in the morning. It's not, there's a lot of guys in here, and ladies too, that we can just say, you know what? It's not that you're, it's patterns over potential. That's what it's always going to be. And so many people in the church world are after people who have the business and who look the part and who dress the way they dress and who have the high political and social platforms, and people like you belong in this church. They're gone. Those days are gone. I'm not after anybody who looks the part. I'm after somebody who's going to be consistent. I don't care what it looks like. I could pick 5 men in here that I could tell you right now who are just consistent in this church. Who at the drop of a dime, they will give anything a shirt off their backs. The house isn't looking for people with potential. It's looking for people who are consistent. And here's what I want you to do. I don't want you to confuse commitment with covenant and say, well, I'm committed to that church. No, you're not. Commitment is a dedication. Watch this. Covenant is a dedication beyond seasons. And that's what the house needs. That's what any house needs. Commitment is, I'll say it again, commitment is a dedication. But covenant is dedication beyond seasons. Means I'm going to be with you in that ugly stage days, and I'm going to be with you when we're in the tent, and I'm going to be with you when we're building out the church right now, and I'm going to be with you in this next. See what that is? That's covenant. That's dedication beyond seasons. I'm not just committed. I'm in a covenant. Jeremiah 32:40 says it like this, because here's what God did. It says, I will make an everlasting covenant with them. That's what God said. I will never stop doing good to them. And if God will make a covenant to us, I think we should make a covenant to each other. We got potential, but what good is potential if you're not consistent? Yeah, you got a gift. Yeah, you got potential. But you also got priorities. And until you're passionate about what Jesus is passionate about, which is the church, I can't help you. Talking about, I want to lead a ministry. Can you paint a room first? Can you pull some weeds first? Can you pick up a broom first? Can you straighten some chairs first? Can you run some wires first? Can you hang a light bulb? I mean, but I just want to lead a ministry. No. Listen to me. See. Can you show up on a Sunday first? We don't got to be perfect. We just got to be present. I'm not looking for potential. We're looking for pattern. Can I help you out? God looked at David and said, "I see a pattern. I see a pattern. The way you tend those sheep." And the way you play that harp and the way you've put yourself in position to be the best at tending the sheep and to be the best at playing the harp. I see a pattern. It's the way you do that is the way you're going to be king over my people. He's not after potential because you all have it. What God is after is patterns. We all have potential. Every single one of you has potential. Potential is revealed through what? Patterns. We just got out of a series called Trust God in the Process. You know what process does? Process reveals potential. God picks people who aren't afraid of the process. Amen? Who can be consistent, who can be constant. Can I tell you something? God cannot use a tumbleweed. And there's so many tumbleweed Christians that just blowing along. They get tired of one area, they just go. And you know what? They're dried up and there's no roots and there's no fruit there. He needs something rooted. He needs something rooted. Can you be consistent, church? You ought to change your pattern in 2020. Say, you know what? I'm going to be consistent in church. I'm going to show up. If church is open, I'm there. That's going to be my pattern because I want God to use me. But before you want God to use you, you got to position yourself to be used by God. I'm going to change my pattern. House code number two. Here's today's house code. If I use what I got, God will be what I'm not. David had to use what he had. What was David? David was good at tending sheep, and David was good at playing the harp. And playing the harp is what positioned David to be where he needed to be. And so many of us, sometimes we're looking for something and we're trying to get somewhere. But God says, no, just get planted. Just get rooted. and bring your best to my house. And when you're good at what you do, I will position you for you. Do the best with what you have, and I will be what you're not. That's what God's saying. That's what I love about people who come to church and they just start being inspired and being in church. And all of a sudden, that person has a business idea or has an idea to buy a house. You know, I've never bought a house before. You know, Sean was sharing that with me the other day. Never did I thought, this is what he told me. How old are you, Sean? 50 years old. You look good. 50 years old, he comes up to me the other day and says, I've never dreamed of buying a house. But praise God, by 2020, I've been approved to buy a house. But what it takes, that's a dream of his. But what he did was he, without even knowing it, just made a plan. And his plan was, I'm going to do whatever it takes for the church whenever the church needs me. And I'm going to do it consistently. And God said, you got your hand on my house. I'm going to put my hand on yours. Come on. It's just the consistent, grinding, constant, relentless pursuit of what Jesus is passionate about. And what he's passionate about is his church. It's his church. And we got so many people saying, I don't need the church. Listen, if you need Jesus, you need the church. You are the church. If you hate the church, you hate yourself. And there's so many stories like that. Not only his. There's so many stories. You know, Aaron and Stacy, they're not here. They've been coming to church. They're from Oklahoma. Pray for them. And they're new to the church, and they've been coming for about 6 months or so, and they just gotten close to us, and he said, you know, I'm gonna go after it. I'm gonna open up my pizza joint. And this guy works, I don't know what he does, construction, oil field or something like that, and he's been doing it for years. But his passion and his dream has always been to own his own pizza joint, brick oven pizza. Crazy good recipes, like I like it. So I'm like, the Lord sent you here for me, dude. And he's been doing everything, and they're getting all the stuff aligned, and they're gonna go for it. And that stuff like that's beautiful to me. It's just like when you position yourself in the house of God, God's gonna start doing things in your life that you'll be like, oh, well, this is available now. What the heck? You know, like, I guess I'll do it. Yeah. Makes sense. That's who he is. That's how he works. Because he's for you. Give God your best, man. But be consistent in it. Be consistent in it. You can't go to church 3 times in 8 weeks and be like, oh yeah, I got. No, you didn't get anything. Imagine everything you missed. Because every time you come to church, I know you leave and you're like, that was good. I can promise you the times that you miss were the times that you needed to be here the most. I can tell you about 20 people who aren't here this morning that this message was for them. But the enemy's like, you ain't hearing that one because that one will change your life. I'm going to keep you at home this morning if you don't mind. You see what I'm saying? That's what I tell people. Man, if it's a fight to get to church, that means it's going to be good for you. If it was hard for you, get up in the morning, that means that was for you. God is for you, amen? But come on, can we be consistent and bring God what is good? Come on, we're learning how to be a church. Last week we said, God, don't do something for me, do something through me. Right? We're learning how to be a healthy church. A church that cares not who's looking, but who's hurting. I don't care who's looking, you know? People told me, and I'm done, but somebody told me the other day, and it's like, we need to do more. You know, we should do more. We should do more. It's not that we don't do a lot. It's just that we don't have to have everybody looking when we do what we do. You know what I mean? Like, I don't got to showboat what God is doing. Who do I got? Why do I got to show that off? I don't got to show that off. We could have showed off. We could have blasted. I mean, we put one post out, but we could have really went into detail of what a Wrapped in Prayer blanket ministry did and how y'all blessed over I don't know how many kids and had an extra church. You gave so much that they had an extra $500 just to give to the kids. So they, I mean, we could have done all that. It's not that we don't do it. But it's not about who's looking. It's about who's hurting. It's not about who's. If you're doing it for who's looking, then what are you really doing it for? Just asking. Asking for a friend. You know what I mean? How they tell that? Just asking for a friend. Amen. Be consistent. Be constant. Be excellent. That doesn't mean be perfect. That means bring your best to the house. And see what a bunch of people with good patterns. Good patterns. I'm going to help no matter what. I'm going to be there no matter what. See what that not only does for the city, for the community, for the church, but also for your life at home. It'll change your world. I'm consistent. You can't stop me. Yeah, but I'm hurting. You can't stop me. I'm still going to church. Yeah, but this is a bad season. You can't stop me. I'm still raising my hands to praise God. You can't keep me from the house of God. I got to be there. You know, when my dad died, I knew the one place I had to get first was to the house of God. I just had to be in his presence with other people. It's special, church. It's special. Hey, if you enjoyed today's message, hey, would you do a few things for us? Number one, subscribe, rate, and review today's podcast. Also, you could help us reach others by heading over to gracepointchurch.faith and clicking on the give link. Hey, thanks for joining us. God bless.